You'll hear that music on Sunday here from Nissan Stadium when the Tennessee Titans take on the Los Angeles Rams. And the man that will be on the call joining us now on the Chasing Big Joe show, the great Ian Eagle. Ian, how you doing? Good to talk to you.
Hey, what's up, guys? Great to talk to you again.
We're excited to have you and your partner, J.J. Watt. What's it been like working with J.J. to this point?
Yeah, J.J., it's been great. We work out together. We share clothes. It's awesome. Hair product. It's been fantastic, guys. He's just a super dude. He's very natural and conversational. He's very at ease on television. And then you just have the wealth of knowledge. This guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He loves football. I think he walked away from last week's game recognizing why he made the move from the studio to the booth, because you get a different sort of emotion when you do your job. The game's in front of you. There's 70,000 people around you. It's heart pulsing action. And I just think he walked away from MetLife Stadium last week thinking, wow, I'm sweating. I never sweat in the studio. It's a different feeling entirely. It was really great, and he's just already got himself a real solid foundation of what to do and how to do this job.
So, obviously, you know, the focus is going to be on Cam Ward making his debut last week against Denver. People that have, you know, watched the tape were pretty impressed with him. What are some things that you've seen in your prep getting ready for now game number two with Cam Ward under center?
Yeah, I get the sense he's very even-keeled and has that gunslinger mentality, which will serve him well in the NFL, but he needs help. It can't be all him. He can't be a Superman at this stage. The first game I ever did on CBS NFL was September of 1998. It was Peyton Manning's first game as a pro. They're playing the Miami Dolphins. Dan Marino is a veteran at that point. He's a year shy of retirement. And Peyton Manning's playing in his first game. It's the number one overall pick out of Tennessee. And there were moments there where you saw that he has the ability and has the talent to one day be an impact player. But in that game, Miami intercepted him a few times. Dolphins beat the Colts. And Peyton was certainly humbled in game one. And I only use that example because everybody's got to start somewhere. This is a really hard job. To me, it's the hardest job in professional sports is playing quarterback in the NFL. And what you really do need is support. So that means Calvin Ridley's got to be his best. Two drops, not going to help. The running game, the offensive line, they have to be at their best. They have to win their battles this week against the Rams. And obviously defense did, in my mind, a really good job last week, kept them in the game. It was an ugly game, yet they had a chance to win. And that's okay. In year two of this rebuild, you want to be competitive. And you want to know that when the Titans take the field, that there's a chance they can win the game because of what they bring week in and week out in terms of effort and intensity.
Interesting. Ian Eagle's on with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. How does your breakdown go when you're studying your next opponent or upcoming game? Do you have like Tuesday, Wednesday, you sit in your room and you break? How does it work for you? How do you break down like the Titans this week?
I tend to do home team Monday, so commit all my time and energy to the home team on Monday. I move to the road team, do the same thing on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, I start to blend the two. That's when you're getting a better sense of what notes are out there. You're doing your prep work on both teams for matchups, and then you start watching the game tape from last week. So Monday, Tuesday, at least in my routine, has always been split them up, and then Wednesday you open up your brain a little bit to start looking at it for the matchup that it is, not just the individual team.
When you'll arrive in Nashville what, Friday and you'll go to the Titans facility and talk to them, is that how this works?
Yeah.
And Saturday at the hotel, you'll talk to the Rams?
Yeah, you nailed it. That's the normal regimen around the NFL. Teams do it different. Broadcast teams do it different. There's no right way, wrong way. We tend to do the Friday home team, get some practice in, get some time with the head coach. with a few of the players, and then flip it for the team that arrives in town Saturday and at least get some face-to-face time.
Are you always amazed how much players and coaches share with you? I know they trust you, and I know you're not going to do anything to lose that trust, but are you always amazed, like, man, they're sharing so much? And then it plays out on Sunday, like, oh, my goodness, it's exactly what they were talking about.
Yeah, it's funny. I think that's built over time. Obviously, I've been doing this a long time, and credibility means a great deal in this particular position. You have to be smart with the information that you have. You have to look at it from a big picture point of view. We're not there, at least it's not our job, to break stories and create narratives. We're there to report on the game. But if you have additional insight to do your reporting, that's where you can stand out. So, look, some of those production meetings, there are players and coaches that are just trying to fill the 8 to 12 minutes, and they're going to give you the same perfunctory answers. And then, trust me, there are some that are willing to go a little deeper and share with you some of the insight that will help you prepare for the game. And then it's really on you to use the information correctly, to pick and choose the right spot. You know, I think early in my career, when I started doing this, I just wanted to show everybody how much I knew first 4 years doing this job. And then at some point, year five, it hit me that that's not the job. The job is to use the right information at the right time and not try to force feed information that doesn't fit.
We're talking to Ian Eagle. He's going to be on the call for CBS alongside J.J. Watt and Evan Washburn when the Titans take on the Rams coming up on Sunday. What's it been, you know, we've seen Brian Callahan as an assistant, obviously was the offensive coordinator with the Bengals for a long time before he came here. Now in year number two as a head coach, you know, we obviously see it on a daily basis, but from your view, what's kind of been your impression of him so far as a coach?
Well, I know he's a good dude. That part I've known for a while, and that was certainly confirmed last year when we met with him prior to Titans Jets week two, if I remember correctly. And last year's team, you know, the talent unfortunately just wasn't there to be terribly competitive. The Will Levis situation, which, you know, I really think they tried. They tried to make that work, and Will's effort was never questioned. Hopefully there's a career for Will in this league in some form. Ultimately, your style is going to be showcased week to week by your players, and based on the kind of lessons that are taught and created throughout the week. And that's not things that you guys or I can see day to day. We can surmise what the culture is, but only the players and the coaches and the staff know. Are there good vibrations in there? Is there accountability in there? I think he has all the makings to be a successful head coach. But oftentimes when you take these kinds of jobs, you need some things to fall in your direction the right way. And certainly he needs Cam Ward to be a legitimate player at this level. If he is, and they're tied together at the hip and they have success together, this could be a very long marriage. And we've seen the opposite take place in the NFL, where either the number one overall pick or a top five draft pick at quarterback doesn't quite materialize. And that's where questions begin to pop and then changes ultimately are made.
We always talk about players and having another level. You know, prime example, the quarterback, you know, when you see him as a rookie and then you see him again in his second year or his third year, you're going to see changes, hopefully. You're going to see growth. But I look at a you know, and J.J. Watt's a perfect example of a guy that you saw just go to multiple levels in a Hall of Fame career. I look at Jeffrey Simmons, who I believe has yet another level, is already a great player for the Titans. Do you see that as someone that doesn't see the same team every week? When can you, is it tangible how much of a growth of a player that you can actually see when you only see them every now and then?
Yeah, I think, you know, the funny thing when you watch games and put on tape, look, I'm looking for different things sometimes. I'm trying to identify players quickly. You know, I'm trying to keep in focus my job. My job is to analyze the game. My job is to set up the analyst. But if I have a working knowledge of the team, it better serves the broadcast crew, and I can better work with JJ or Charles Davis or Dan Fouts or Rich Gannon or Solomon Wilcots or Mark May, yeah, all the different partners that I've had over the years in the NFL. Jeffrey Simmons stands out when you put on the game. He stands out in his position. He's incredibly disruptive. I remember very vividly meeting with Mike Vrabel when Simmons came to the Titans, and him looking at us and telling us in the production meeting, like, no, I don't think you understand. This guy's at a different level. And, you know, at that point, we know nothing. We haven't seen Jeffrey Simmons in the NFL, and he's coming off injury, if you remember. And he was right. He knew exactly what he was looking at. I think, obviously, this week, JJ, that'll be a big part of what we're doing in the booth. He's going to have a full breakdown of what Simmons brings and what you're alluding to. Is there another level that Simmons can go to be considered a superstar in the NFL?
And I'm just glad that, and a lot of Titans fans are, well, that JJ's in the booth and not on the field because he wrecked havoc at Nissan Stadium every single time he came to town, and it wasn't even funny. I mean, he was a dominating force on that.
I can't promise you that that video has been burned. It probably still exists, and that means it very well could end up on the broadcast on Sunday. I'm just telling you right now.
It should. How far out do you know what games you're doing? Did you not find out? Like, when did you know you're doing the Titans and Rams?
No, we actually knew in August. They gave us our first 3 weeks, and then they gave us our fourth week last week. So we have Pittsburgh at New England week 3, and we have Washington at Atlanta week 4.
Oh, nice. You know, you've been a voice. I mean, I feel like, and Chase feels the same way, Ian, like you're part of our family. I mean, you've been in my living room more than probably any other family member because we've heard you for years and years. Yeah. If I ask you to pick your favorite moment as a play-by-play, can you?
No, I don't know if I could pick out one particular moment. I've literally called thousands of games now between NFL and NBA and college basketball and tennis and golf and track and field and boxing. But I can tell you this from my personal point of view. I had so many Titans games early in my career, and I look back on that time and I really do cherish it. Jeff Fisher was such a pleasure to deal with. The fan base was so excited to have a team in Nashville, and those teams still have a place in my memory bank with McNair and George. That whole group was so exciting. And then even the next iteration, the Vince Young, Chris Johnson group, I have so many memories and highlights. Just calling Derrick Henry runs. Like, that is a play-by-play guy. You know going in, this guy's going to provide you with something exciting. Now it's your time and moment to meet the moment. And yeah, that was always the great pleasure of coming and doing Titans games.
Do you critique yourself? Because, like, I hate hearing myself. I did TV for so many years as a sports anchor here in Nashville. I never watched myself because I'm like, oh, my God. Are you past that? Because you're a professional. You do a great job.
I would say I'm past it. I think early on there were definitely those moments if you would hear the tape back. And remember, when I started with CBS, we were talking about VHS tapes. That's
right.
That's how you would have to watch yourself. They would send you these VHS tapes in the mail, and I would pop the game on. And, yeah, I'm with you. I was not necessarily comfortable. You know what's really interesting, though? This was something that I figured out a few years in, because I would watch my game back the second it would come in the mail on either Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning. And I did that for the first 3 years of my career at CBS. And I didn't feel like I was making drastic improvement in what I was doing. And at some point, probably around year 4, I decided to stop doing that. And what I would do is, during the summer, I would watch a random game back from a year earlier or 2 years earlier. So now the information was not fresh in my head. I don't remember why we did X in the open. I don't remember why I said what I said. It was all just clear in my brain and I could truly assess it and evaluate it. And that's what I started doing. And even now, I'll pop in a game from 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I think I get a better sense of performance than when it's so fresh that I can't truly look at what I did and give an honest feedback of it. So that ended up being much more helpful to me than what I was doing previously.
Good.
I can tell you this, that, you know, when you listen to a broadcast or watch a broadcast, you can tell when the announcers are having fun. I feel like with the NCAA tournament, you have a lot of fun, and I always enjoy your coverage of the NCAA tournament, and I know it has to be cool.
Oh, it means a lot. Thank you. I mean, obviously, being with Bill Raftery and Grant Hill, I've known Raf forever, and he's one of my best friends on earth. So we can go places maybe that some broadcast partners can't go because we know that we're going there together. And I even sense that with JJ, even after just one game. There is a sense of levity and, you know, busting chops that is acceptable in a relationship if both parties are into it and are on board together. And that's, you guys know, you understand from a chemistry standpoint, you can't do the show that you're doing every day if you're overthinking what your partner might be thinking. It has to be reactionary, instinctual. You're making decisions in real time, and in doing so, you really got to trust your instincts that, hey, this is good for the show. And in my mind, whatever I do, I'm trying to do what's best for the broadcast. Truly, not what's best for me, not what's best for our analyst, not what's best for the sideline person. I'm just doing what's best for the broadcast. And as long as you have that philosophy, I think you can't go wrong.
Before we let you go, how much do you get to be dad and cheer Noah on? He does a tremendous job with, you know, what he's doing with NBC and his own career. You got your stuff, but that has to be pretty special to watch your son follow in your footsteps.
Oh, yeah, it's been so cool. It really has. I think probably the person that's not getting enough credit is my wife, who now has to tack on an extra 3.5 hours of football every week that was not a part of her life prior. So she's watching the Saturday night game on NBC. She's watching my game on Sunday. She's crushing tape on Tuesday. No, she's not doing that. she obviously is so proud, and I'm so proud. I'm proud of him as a person more than anything else. He's just handled everything really well. He's a good dude. He gets it. He understands how all this stuff works, and he cares. He cares about doing the job the right way, treating people the right way. So, no, it's a father's dream. If your kid even has an interest in what you do, that gives you those good feelings. If they actually want to do what you do, that's a whole other area of pride that I've been feeling and continue to feel every year.
Well, Ian, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. We look forward to the broadcast on Sunday in Nashville. But thanks again, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Excited about it. We'll see you this weekend.
Absolutely. Ian Eagle, he will be on the call with J.J. Watt and Evan Washburn for the Titans and the Rams on CBS coming up this Sunday. And, again, he does it all. Does the NBA, does college basketball.
Great. He's great.
As we mentioned, I mean, he's one of those versatile broadcasters. And we appreciate him joining us. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.